Welcome everyone to another episode of Classroom to Staff Room, where we talk all things teaching. I'm joined by my co-host Jodie Epia.
How are we all?
I'm Miles O'Kane, and we look forward to taking you all along for the ride. My man, this term being a 9-week term, would you prefer a 9-11-week split over term 1, term 2, or a 10-10?
Oh, I reckon I'll go for a 10-10.
10-10? I think the nine's too short, isn't it? I'd almost prefer, if they're going to split it, do the 11 up front, get through, use the energy from the breaks.
Yep.
9 is good, but it's too short, isn't it?
Mm.
At least the 10's consistency.
The good thing with the 10 as well is that it's the fact that mentally you know that there's only 10.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're going 9, you know that mentally we're coming into the next term, you're going to have to go 11. It's just one of those things, even though it may go like, it'll equal up later on. It's just the mere fact that you're going to stay that extra.
It is. And even like the mid-term, I find usually those 10-week splits, by the time week 5 comes around, like, I can get through this. That 11-week term, you're like, wait, week 5 not even halfway anymore.
Yeah.
Push it back the week. And then it's because term 2 is all the busiest with reports and parent nights and stuff. So it ends on. I was actually thinking about this during the week. I know it's a bit later in the year. How quickly can you remember a class's name?
Bro, I'm still taking time to learn the classes that I have now.
Yeah.
I can first guess, I'm maybe first or second guess, but some classes, bro, that I've never taught before, like my sevens, getting used to some of them. Some of them I know because some of them do really well.
Do you think it's definitely, I know when I think it's when you're a new teacher or you're new to the industry, you want to be seen to be learning everyone's name. Like, I find that now being a bit more seasoned, I'm like, I'll get to the student's name. I'm not trying to be rude right now.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember 60 to 100 students' name.
An easy way to overcome that I use, bro, is excuse me, sir. Yes, sir, can you just turn the light off for us?
Yeah.
And, like, they respond.
I still find students most of the time are very respectful. Like, I'll be looking at a student, calling them by the wrong name, and they're staring at me, and after, like, 10 seconds, like, it's not me, so it's the wrong name. I'm like, I appreciate you being so respectful right now, and I'm so sorry, but names is not my forte, and we'll get there. All right, so today's episode, I'm thinking we look at the pros and cons to certain behaviour management consequences out there.
Yeah.
Sort of go through that and see what we think's valid, maybe not so good in our experience. So let's start easy with the low-key consequences for misbehaviour during class time. So assign students seating. Well, I mean, it flows on from the initial part. I think it definitely helps learn students' names faster. Break up, I don't want to say divide and conquer, but you get to break up students' groups that are more disruptive classes.
Absolutely.
Have these students here, these students here. And then I'm big on the Starks. You can set those expectations. And this is what we're doing. We're here for me, here to work on a work ethic, look to improve, have that discipline.
Yep.
And then as time goes on, once we've matured together, me and the class, you start to earn that trust, and then I'll start to look at rearranging the class. What's your thoughts on assigned, the pros?
Exactly that. Exactly what you just said, exactly what happened to me over the last couple of days. Because I said to the kids, do you remember what I said at the beginning? And it was practically, I'm putting you where I want you to sit, and it'll stay like that until I think it's ready, or with it, as you said, we've matured together as a class. And I said, today's that day. I said, stand up, everyone. And they stood up and I said, right, you have 1 minute to pick or choose where you'd like to sit.
And that's said, fascinating, that experiment, isn't it? Oh, where they go.
Bro, and like a lot of them ended up staying right where they were. It was like they knew that they worked better. I said, look, you got to make a wise decision, because at the end of the day, if it's not working for you, then I'll have to reshuffle and shift you somewhere else. So, yeah, giving them that choice is powerful. It allows them to think, oh, wow, you know, we've earned this, so it's just really cool.
Yep. My favorite one is when you have like 4 rat bag students. And you separate and they're working well, then they all huddle up at the end of the lesson, like, sir, can we start working together now? I'm like, hold on, you 4 want to work together. Oh, in the back row as well. No, that's not going to happen, at least for a while. Sir!
Yeah.
And eventually you may or may not get there, but I think it is setting those, the expectations from the start to work out. Then looking at the flip side, the cons, I don't really see any cons for this science. I mean, I think as a new teacher or a less experienced teacher, you fight that battle to start with to get the students to sit there.
Yep.
But as long as you're consistent, and then if you're following up with people above you, if you need your heads of departments, people in higher positions to help support you, the students start to see the follow through.
I don't really see that many cons neither, in a sense, because right from allocating where you want them to sit, you've already claimed the power, in the sense that the kids, oh, Jesus, this is where I have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real reason for them to kick back, because you can randomly say, this is... So what I've done at the beginning was I gave them a number and I've got five different groups of tables, and I said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, and I just randomly put them.
Yeah.
But I made sure certain people didn't go to the same groups, and it works. And then I say, right, you've got half, so let's say 5, 6 weeks to prove to me that you're responsible, and then we'll reshuffle if we need to.
Detentions. Pros.
Teaches the kid what you say is going to happen. Always follow through. Always follow through.
Where, so me, I'm using detentions these days, short detentions if a student's late to class. Mm. I think anything more, 5 to 10 minutes, yep, I'll hold them back, and just to keep them on their mind.
Mm.
I don't see much potential. Like, I've been at schools where they do detention rooms, and then just rushing on random stuff. I don't think that works because it puts too much pressure on the staff, and then there's different dynamics in those groups. That's creating an actual. I think if you can keep you as a teacher accountable,
cool,
and then keep the students accountable.
I've been in that situation where I was rostered on to do detention, but it was weird because all the kids that were in detention, they were actually really good for my classes.
Mm.
So it just seemed wrong. But like when you've got the kids from your class and they know they're on detention, they understand why they're there.
Yeah.
Understanding. So it's more relevant for both the teacher and the student if you're doing your own detentions. And what you sow in early and get it done, it does tend to register with the kids later on. It does.
Yeah, and I think you're right. If you're someone that's got a teacher with strong rapport with students, then other teachers see that, and then you get extra work at times as well, which at times can be beneficial, but then it creates a whatever, straw for your back as well, at times, more work. But I think there is. I think it's especially lateness or if a student's playing up and stuff, just have those short, sharp detentions. But have that communication. Just go, look, this is what you're here for.
Mm.
Not just pointing the finger and do that. This is what you're here for, and just communicating all the way. I think you start to make a difference there. Cons is what I said before, I believe. What I talked about before, I don't think you need more than a couple of students in detention.
Mm.
Depending what they are, like how you can separate students, have them face in different directions. I don't think it's sit there and just talk and eat your food and stuff and hang out.
Mm.
I think it's you're there, either you're continuing the work you're doing in class or sitting there silent. There needs to be some kind of repercussion.
Correct.
For the misbehaviour.
Absolutely. They've got to understand that when they cross that line that you obviously establish as a classroom teacher, they put a toe over that line, they understand that, oh, geez, I'm in the wrong. As a result, this is the consequence that I'm going to actually have to face.
Mm-hmm.
And then by following through, it creates that understanding from teacher to student and vice versa, that you're not just saying something and then don't worry about it. It's your follow through is very important. You must follow through with whatever you're going to end up doing.
A yard duty is still a thing. Students having, we used to call it scab duty when I was in school, picking up rubbish.
I call it, I have beautification groups of people who I allocate a beautiful plastic bag. And I said, right, pick a number. And they'll say 10. I said, great number. Let's multiply that.
As in the piece of the rubbish. That must break the student's heart when you do that. Which is,
so the higher the number, bro, I'm happy with that. But if they go low, they lowball in, I'm going to multiply.
Suggest the student to wear the jacket as well, the fluoro jacket.
Oh, I couldn't.
Mate, they'll get lost out there otherwise. Why wear the jacket, sir? Well, we're both on duty together now. You're picking up rubbish. Yeah. I'm making sure the yard's safe. Got to be do it. Yeah, when they try, I don't do it as much anymore. I used to. And they try break up one piece of rubbish and make it five. I'm like, oh, he's added five pieces of rubbish to your pile. Well done. If you've got, and again, it comes down to rapport, it can be really good for students.
Yeah.
But it can be a nightmare to try enforce as well. If you've got no rapport with a student and then here, do this. They're like, why? That's ridiculous.
And then I've actually been on duty watching some kids who are on rubbish duty go to rubbish bins and take rubbish out of the bins.
That's been around for a while. Yeah, yeah. I remember that trick back in the day. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fascinating how quick schools can fill up with rubbish at time as well. Yeah. You're like, whoa, where'd that come from? Buddy room withdrawals for lessons. So for people who don't know buddy rooms, if I'm teaching lower school, Jody's got upper school at the same time, I've got a student misbehaving, I then move that student into Jody's class for the isolation for the period. I think this has probably got the most potential, but it needs to be the right upper school class.
Correct.
I think if you've got a lower school year 8, year 9, year 7 student that thinks they're the king of the pack in the class, as soon as they're removed into the upper school dynamic, something that all disappears.
Yep.
Now, that's not, you know, as a, I don't want to say punishment, But as a follow through, again, it gives the teacher some reprise, and they can sort of get their class back on track. Yep. But then it also puts, you know, the students there doing some work as well, and there's not their mates around them.
I'll pre-warned. I remember when I see a kid knocking at my door and he's carrying one of those buddy sheets, I just say to my kids, here comes one, here's one. And they automatically know how to treat the kid who's younger when they come in. And the kids just see them. Like the naughty kid tries to make conversation with these upper school kids, and the upper school kids just give it to them. And I was like, oh.
Like it's in the front row?
Yeah.
I'll do that. And again, but it's not like, usually I find they come strutting in. I'm like, oh, hold on, we're not doing that. This is a different dynamic now. We've got curriculum to get through, and you're 3 years younger. But then on the flip side, if you've got teachers continuing to do it, so it's the same student every period, well, then the repercussion of the play room starts to wear down.
Correct.
So I think in that case, it's then get in contact with the parents, put something else in place.
It does become ineffective if they keep using the same thing over and over and nothing's been modified.
Yeah. Mm. High-level consequences. Okay, so then student withdrawal for several periods. So where an example I would use that, if a student is continuing to misbehave, so we've withdrawn for one period, they go back in the same behaviour, then as a head of department, I then go take that student, make the contact home to parents and say, look, we've tried this route, we trust it didn't work, so I've now withdrawn this student for a couple of periods in this class. Again, I think there can be a lot of potential in that.
Mm.
But there needs to be those lines of communication. Then from there, it would get the parents down for an interview.
Yep.
And I think having the teacher, the head of the department, the student, and again, it can be a lot of work, but it's doing the work in a short time to then pay off in the long term.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with that concept. It's what you sow early, you reap later. So the quicker you can get this sort of thing done, and it may be onerous at the beginning, but it actually does pay off in the long run. But when I look at like the high level consequences, the pros of, you know, what I try and do is I try to deal with it at classroom level and try different ways to modify it. And one of the things that I've found is it's usually peer pressure from their own student body actually brings a lot of kids back into line. It's like the kids are telling this kid to toe the line if they're stepping out of line or if they're being rude. And that has quite a profound effect on those kids. But it's those real hardcore kids that don't really care if they upset the rest of the class or not. But if you can create an atmosphere by where all the kids are like, ah, we're all learning here. Hey, we're all trying to do this.
Yeah.
And one kid's trying to do something silly. Look at me, I'm being silly.
Yeah.
Everyone can bring that kid back into line by just, hey, pull your head in. It's powerful.
It's back into the environment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, and then I think the highest of the one, then we look at suspension.
Mm.
So the pros of suspension, what are we looking at?
Obviously the teacher involved or teachers involved and even the class involved gets a little bit of, as you say, rest from the behaviour or from the negative behaviour that's occurring.
Yep.
So on one hand, it works well. I think the downside is with suspension, it becomes just another thing. If it happens too often, it's just another day. I do see the value of it because it does give the teacher rest, it gives the classroom a rest from the negative behavior. If it's restorative in the sense where the kid comes back and is very apologetic, or if they come back and it just next minute they do it again, it's whether or not they're actually learning from the whole consequence thing of suspension. Because I see at certain schools, it's a revolving door for some students.
Mm.
As soon as they come in, they leave because of the suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that works. Obviously, it's
where do you see suspension as a must? Like, what kind of behaviours causes suspension? I think verbal abuse of a teacher.
Yeah.
Like verbal is obviously physical abuse of a teacher. Yep. Physical abuse of another student.
Yeah. Yes, it's your common things that you wouldn't accept out in society. As you wouldn't accept people swearing at you, you wouldn't accept people having a go at you physically. So I draw the line where if you're lost control and unfortunately by losing control, you've impacted someone else in a negative way, i.e. hurt someone or really put them down,
mm-hmm.
you deserve to go and think about your actions. But it's one of those ones where how do you change the cycle if that's just something where kids just so used to doing it?
The suspension cycle is tough, isn't it? Because then it becomes a point that they get too far behind in education and then they need to find a way out. And then they don't come to school and that all adds up as well. And then where's the cost in society, which can be tough. But then there's a teacher side as well. If you've got a student that's constantly at a teacher, you know, you look to if there's a class available, can you move the student into there full time? But sometimes there's not. So I find it difficult at times trying to find the balance between the demonstrated misbehaviour and looking after the teacher as well.
Yeah.
And there'll be times where, as a head department, stuff will happen. Because I'm not there, I can't really, you know, you've got to make the best judgment call.
Yeah.
That can be tough at times. And I mean, most of the time, you like to think you get them right, but I imagine there is times that, oh, I've got it wrong or misinterpreted the situation.
Oh, I can also say this. We as adults should be able to adapt. We should be malleable enough to cater for if a kid was transferred into another class.
Mm-hmm.
We should, at first glance, be able to adapt to that as adults. Now, unfortunately, we've become, well, some teachers have become quite precious in the sense that it's like, no, I don't want to because I'll upset whatever. We're trained to deal with these sorts of kids. We understand that this is what's going on behind the kids, and giving the kid another chance in another room might actually be good for them. So it's one of those things that we may have our own personal views and say, no. And there's some staff that do that. But put the kid first and then have a look at what you can do to try and impact that kid. Give it a shot. End of the day, don't write them off. Give a kid another go. We have to reset the reset button every day.
Yeah, no, don't hold grudges.
Yeah.
And it can be tough for the teacher pride as well.
Mm.
But I think as we continually say on here, most students just want to feel like they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah.
And they may not admit it or may not want to be seen like that publicly, but that's what they want. So I think if we can just start every day fresh, you'd be surprised what can be achieved. But at the same time, don't feel like you're just going to take stuff from students.
That's right. That's right.
You know, so it is a fine line to walk and a tricky balance to make.
Yeah, it is.
So looking at those between the assigned seating, the detentions, which are blah, 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 what we talked about, A, what are you commonly using at the moment, if any? And then B, is there anything else that you want to add?
I don't really look into the suspension line. That's our very last resort.
Mm.
That's something that I wouldn't. Something I'll probably go through yourself in head of the department.
Mm.
But I'll try not to go down that line. I'd rather try and talk to the parent. I'd rather do everything else before. What I'm currently doing is a system by where just everybody keeping everybody accountable. At the very beginning, I said to the kids, no one has the right to steal your learning time. So when you're learning and someone else is distracting, they are stealing from you. No one has that right. So now they understand that I'm here to learn something.
So what can I ask, Jody? Why do you see that as... So why do you say that? I don't always say it. Mm. You see, because it creates that stronger... The team environment?
Yeah.
Mm, it's powerful.
Yeah, it creates that whole thing where everybody realises, hey, yeah, he's right. We're here to learn. We're here to try and get better. And I may not be the best at whatever I'm doing in class, but he's told us that we have the right to learn. And that's where... A lot of these kids are starting to figure out.
Because I used a line the other day, I got called in to another teacher's class to help out with a lower school student. And I had to say that. I said, look, I'm sorry for this student for taking away from your learning time now. We're doing the best. And as soon as the student saw that, they kind of like just said, he's doing his thing. Just we're going to try. And eventually got him out of the class and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was as not suddenly he's the center of attention. And it's just, you know, students versus the teacher.
Mm.
It's just like, hey, this has happened.
Yeah.
And it's surprising how adaptable students can be as well.
Oh. So much so. And I think, if anything, if I look at any of these different consequences and at different levels, I think your tone of your voice can change depending on which one is going to happen. And if the kids are so used to a tone of voice being so a certain high pitched or really going, they sort of adapt to that quite easily in the sense that, oh, it's just going to happen again. But if you are usually cool, calm, collected, and then all of a sudden your voice changes slightly, the kids pick up on that straight away. Like putting them back into checking. Oh, geez, what's going on here?
Do you ever do the talk lower one? So I had someone tell me when I was starting out that instead of talking over, just talk real low, and then eventually the kids just listen.
Mm.
And it does, like, it takes a while, but the students, like, you sit there, keep going, stay calm, and just keep getting lower and lower, because, like, oh, just wait, hold on, we're not center of attention, what do you mean? And then suddenly they're listening. And just, it's funny those little tricks, isn't it?
I've done that one, Barry, and I remember the guy who was doing it one time. He'd done it to the point where it was so hard to hear. And then once he had the audience, once he had everyone listening, he spoke to even softer, which made the listener having to stretch their ear. You know, what? Just to understand.
Speak up, sir. We can't hear you back here. So look, just looking at the time, it is it's a bit short today, but I think that's, it's a nice topic to sort of wrap up there. I think it's just, you know, there's some things out there. These are the things we've used to deal with misbehavior. Obviously, again, all the tools blends into the different personality types. So, yeah, hopefully it works for you. Hopefully you have some ideas, possibly some inspiration.
Yeah.
Final remarks on the topic?
Just enjoy your classes. Set your boundaries. Follow through. Have fun. But then let them know when they've stepped over that line and that they understand this is the reason why this is occurring. And then that way the kids have a better understanding. So they actually... I go back to when our dogs are being trained. A good dog will actually keep watching them, watching their master as they're walking next to them, just to see if they're in step with them. And so, and if they're not, you sort of give them a little, like a, what a mum would do, will bite them on the leg just to say, hey, get back in line. So it's almost one of those things where you're trying to keep your students in check just so they can notice the slight differences, even if it's a slight difference in your voice. And then once you hear the slight difference, they're like, oh, something's up here. This is, we're not doing something right here. Someone, and then it's just, it permeates through the whole of the room and everybody sort of figures out, oh, something's not right. And then you watch the kids, they're looking around and they could automatically tell that some kid's not listening or some kid's speaking while the teacher's speaking.
It's fascinating how animal behavior can be translated to human behavior, isn't it? Yeah. Like, I find that walking my dog at the time, I'm like, this is, yeah, there's some stuff here I could use in my teaching right now. So like always, thanks for listening and we look forward to the next episode.
Thank you.